This morning, we're going to continue with our marriage and relationship series. We started by looking at the Christian single life. We looked at the premarital stage of relationships. And last week, we started on the actual marriage relationship itself. But what we did last week was we tried to establish the basis for marriage. We said, you know, God is the author of marriage and, you know, God is the one that instituted it. So we laid the foundations, kind of. So today, I just want us to look at the more, the more practical aspects of marriage. We'll start today on that, and I think we'll probably carry on till next Sunday, and we'll just see how it goes. So this morning, I'm going to be looking at three things, if time permits. The first thing that I'm going to look at is what I've called what your wife needs and what your husband needs. The first thing. The second thing we'll look at is communication. And if time permits, we'll look at forgiveness. So these are three things that we'll be looking at today. When one becomes married, what is the husband thinking about? What does your husband need? What does your wife need? Then we'll look at communication and forgiveness. Now, these look like very simplistic things. Sometimes when you say that, you might be saying, oh, I wish Pastor had said something slightly more groundbreaking. You know, something theologically, you know, inept and deep. But you'd be so surprised that it is. These are, I believe, some of the things that can constitute, or should I say that, if we have an understanding of these things from a biblical perspective, then it will really help our marriages and it will help us to advise other people as well. Now, before I start on this, I was just thinking to myself that I've come across a lot of some people, and you know, sometimes one experiences it oneself, and you realize that a lot of the times the problems that arise in marriage between a man and a woman, husband and wife, is not because they do not love each other. Do you get what I mean? It's not because they don't love each other. In fact, I've come across people who are really, you know, having a you know, really hard time with their spouse. Some of them are even like, you know, this is. But if you remove all the things on top of it and you ask them, do you really love your wife? They'll be like, yes, but. Then they list a number of things. You ask a man, do you really love your wife? And they say, yes, I really love her, but. So we begin to see that the challenge in marriage sometimes, or the workings of marriage sometimes, is not out of lack of love. Do you get what I mean? Now, you'd be wondering, hang on, if someone really loves one another, if one person loves the other and vice versa, then there shouldn't be any problem in marriage. Or it should just be smooth sailing. Do you understand? But it's not so. I mean, I know some of you, probably you guys didn't go through this. You know you love your brothers and your sisters. And I can tell you, for example, for someone like me, when I was growing up, I mean, I used to fight with my brother quite a bit, like proper kung fu fight and all that. My sisters, some of them, I mean, I didn't fight with my sisters, obviously. But there were times that I just felt, you know what, I don't really like these people at all. Then, before the evening, we're playing together again. So, what I'm just saying is that lack of love is not necessarily the cause of maybe misunderstandings in marriage, or the marriage not going in the right direction that we might want it to do. So, if it's not lack of love, then what is it? We'll try and look at some of those things. Now, the first thing I've said is, what does your wife need and what does your husband need in the context of marriage? You know, someone might say, you know what, I think I know what my wife needs. She wants a shopping voucher every week to go to Cabot Circus. You know, I think that's what she really needs. Well, that might help. Or if you ask the wife, she might say, I think I know what my husband needs. He needs, you know, his dinner set out, you know, with silver plates. He needs, you know, and we might have quite a few ideas about what we think our spouse needs. But that's not necessarily the primary thing that they need. And you find out, hang on, I've been giving this, my wife, shopping vouchers every week. And she's still, it's still, you know, things are not working out. Or the woman, the wife goes, you know, I've been making his dinner. I've been trying to do all these things, you know, making sure that his, you know, his tie is well done and all that. But still, he's not really appreciating this. Then the challenge now begins. So what does your husband need? What does your wife need? We'll look at that. Now, the first thing we want to look at is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Very simple verse here, and therein lies some of the fundamental things. Well, when I say fundamental, the primary thing about the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. Here he says, however, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. So he's telling the man here, love your wife. All right? And he's telling the wife, respect your husband. So why isn't it the other way around? Why isn't he telling the husband, respect your wife? And why is he not telling the wife, love your husband? He tells you something here. We agree that love is the basis for marriage. So everybody, at least before one gets married, you must love your wife or your husband to an extent. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the marriage relationship here. So if we say, so we'll look at why it is so important that the wife understands that what her husband needs is to be honored and respected, and what the wife needs is to be loved, and not the other way around. And that's the fundamental of the whole thing. Now, let's look at the husband. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Slightly lengthy, but I'll read it. It says, wives. Or have I switched it around? Okay. Sorry, I think I've switched that around. Let's look at, okay, let's start with this one. Let's start with the wives. Then we'll go to the husbands. Someone just said yes in the background. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So here is saying, talking to wives here. Don't worry, we'll come to husbands in a minute. He's talking to wives here. And the Bible begins to tell us something about what the husband needs. And the Bible gives us an example of Sarah in the Bible. Now, what does this mean? Why does the husband, or why do men need respect and not necessarily love? Do you know that for a man, if I can put this in another way, if a man doesn't really, let me not say a man doesn't really bother too much if you love him or not, but let's even say in the context of the office space. A man is at work. What he wants is to be respected. He doesn't want people. Yes, amen, amen. What he wants is to be respected. Whether his employees love him or not, it doesn't really matter. As long as he's respected there, nobody is, you know, putting him down. So he's fine. So there is something about men and respect. So you might have a woman or a wife that loves her husband, and she really, really, really loves him. There's no doubt about that. And they're talking, and she just says, excuse me, just, you know, can you please keep quiet there? I have some other things to do. And she talks to him the way she talks to her sister. And in her own eyes, I mean, what's the big deal? I talk to my sisters this way. So maybe if it's a home of, you know, a home where there are many sisters, you know how they talk sometimes. Very womanish, if I can say. They can laugh and say, okay, no, your hair looks really funny. And they're laughing and all that. That's fine. But now, addressing your husband with the same approach might cause some challenges. So no matter how much you love your husband or how much a wife loves her husband, if she doesn't really understand that for the man, respect is key, there'll be slight challenges there. Do you understand? So imagine, like, you know, a guy, a husband has got his friends about, they're in the living room or something, and the wife comes in and, you know, she loves this guy. And she just says, you know, and just an example. And he says in front of his friends, this is an example. Darling, please, can you get me a glass of water there, please? And she says, get it yourself. I'm busy. Can't you see that I have to do some other things here in front of, you know. I'm sure you don't do that. Can get it yourself. I'm busy with the kids and all that. And she just says it. And she, really, she's busy. She's tired. But she spurts it out that way. You know, at that point, no matter how much that woman loves that husband, is dissolved in his heart. So men are completely different from women in that regard. That for a man, it is respect that a man needs in this instance. So what am I saying here? The Bible is telling us something using the example of Sarah. Do you know something about Sarah that I want you to, that I just want to explain today? And I hope I'll be able to explain it properly. Do you know that God told Abraham some things? He said, I'll make you a father of nations. He made a lot of promises to him. And if you look at the book of Genesis, Sarah interjected to the point where she made her husband say, you know what? Send Hagar away. Do this. Do that. To the point that she even pushed him that, okay, you know what? God's promises are delaying. Go and, you know, have a child with my... Now, how can a woman do that to a man? Do you understand? How does a woman get a man to do what she wants? I mean, to the point that even... this is not a good one. She pushes him to disobey God or amends that. Do you understand? How? How did she do that? Did she force him? Did she say, you must send that woman away? I don't think that's how she did it. I think if she used that approach, it probably wouldn't have worked. Do you know how she did it? It's here. The Bible tells us that Sarah got to the point that she honored Abraham so much that she would call him master. Do you understand? She understood the power of submission and respect. So she knew men very well. So you can imagine, you now wonder and say, okay, this is the woman that made Abraham do this. How did she do it? It's here. And this is the understanding I believe that Sarah had, that she knew that, you know what, if I honor this man to the point I can make him do anything I want, which is not always the best thing. Now, you now begin to wonder, if we look at it from the not too good side, where you have a man who is successful with his family, maybe in his profession and all that, then suddenly one now hears that that man, you know, committed adultery with some other woman somewhere. And you now wonder, and you're not wondering, you know, what really, really happened here? And you investigate matters. You now sometimes find that some women understand this to the point that they use it against men. Well, I'm just explaining that. And you find a woman that will go to a man and she understands this and she begins to shower attention on the man. I'm just talking about submission here and honor for men. And this man is as serious as anything. And she begins to, oh, have you had breakfast today? She's not his wife, mind you. Maybe in the office or something. Hey, no, have you had breakfast today? Oh, your hair looks so on. It looks so. I don't think you've slept too much. You know. The man now goes, you know, yeah, thank you. I'm not really interested and all that. And is there anything you'd like me to do? She's not his secretary, mind you. Is there anything you'd like for me to do for you today? I'm not really sure. I just wanted some ice cream, but I forgot it at home. Ice cream. Oh, during my lunch break, I'm off to Sainsbury's. I'm going to get you the best ice cream, and she does that. Do you know what's happening there? submission power. Do you get what I mean? So it gets to the point where the man is almost in the grip of the woman. Why? Submission. Do you understand what I mean? So that is what men need. The Bible tells us. Men need love, yes. That's understood. But the husband needs respect. And that's what gets the job done. All right, let's flip over to the other side. The wives and husbands now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 29. He now begins to tell the husband, here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hates his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ loves the church. So let's flip to the case of the husbands here. All right. So we've looked at the wives. Now, the Bible is telling us something. There's a key word here. Love, 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 love your wife, love your wife. And he goes on to say, you know what? No one hates his own body, but he cares and he feeds and cares for it. So this is saying that there's something in men and there's something in women. So we've looked at the men, the husbands, and it says it's respect that men need. But here, it's telling the man that what your wife needs is love. What your wife needs is love. Well, and you now wonder, you know, there's some women that will sometimes put up with some men, and you're wondering, what does she really, maybe before they get married, what does she even see in this man at all? You know, there's so many other guys that, are before they get married. What is it about this man that this girl is? There's so many other nice people. Do you know what that is? Is love. And what do I mean by that? I believe that if a man can really communicate love to a woman, that he really loves her, I believe that woman can do anything for him. That's why you wonder, you guys look a bit too serious for me this morning, right? Just kidding. So you now wonder, how come this woman is so, you know, about this man? Then you find out that the reason why she will tolerate all any form of is because she believes the guy truly loves her. Yeah. Because she believes that, you know what, this guy might be a nasty guy, this man might be a no-gooder, this man might be lazy, this man might be a loafer, this man might be anything. And, you know, there's so many other people that are better, but you know what thing about this guy? He loves me. And that's the end of the story. Do you understand? Meanwhile, for the man, it's not like that. But for the woman, once she really understands that, then she will swim seven rivers and climb seven mountains. Do you understand? So we begin to see here that what a woman needs, the Bible tells us, is love. And what the man needs is honor and respect. Now, we'll go to the next part. And I think we'll just, maybe might just start this. We're now looking at communication here. The next thing we're looking at is communication in the context of marriage. So I said that at the beginning, we'll realize that for a husband and a wife, the fundamental problem is not usually a lack of love, because the man might love his wife truly and deeply. The woman might love her husband truly and deeply, but it's at the heart level. The expression of it now becomes the challenge. Do you understand? Now, if we begin to look at communication, I think we'll start today. The first thing we want to say is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Now, I'm just going to draw something from the context of this. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, why am I using this? Now, I'm going to take this context and I will translate it into the marital context. So the first thing I want to say about communication is the fact that I believe that after one gets married, we need to, how should I put it? We need to switch our mode of communication slightly. Yes. We need to switch our mode of communication slightly. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, before you got married, you guys were not married. You know, you were just single, doing what you wanted to do. You could, you know, talk to your spouse like your sister if you wanted and all that. But the thing is this, once you get married, yes, that friendship still continues, but the woman now begins to realize that, you know what, this is now a marital context. Yes, we'll still be friends, but this man is no more just that boy that came down the road. Do you understand? He's my husband now. So the woman needs to amend her mindset slightly. For the man as well, you need the man also needs to realize that in terms of communication as well, you are now married to this woman. Although the friendship continues at that level, she is not your buddy from school anymore, so to speak. You cannot talk to her that way. Do you understand? So I believe the first thing is understanding that as one gets married, and as one advances in the marital relationship, your form of communication needs to amend itself as well. Your form of communication needs to amend itself as well. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this needs to reflect what we read in the earlier scripture. It needs to reflect honor for the husband, and for the wife, it needs to reflect love, you know, as well. And one thing is this, I know that, you know, we're in a modern society, you know, things have progressed, we're in the 20th century, but, you know, we need to realize that there's some things that do not change. So, for example, someone, you know, a woman now, I'm saying, you know, in the 20th century might say, you know what, all these submission thing is for the dark ages. Me and my husband and I, we're the same. We're on the same level. When I come home, if dinner is not served, let him do it. You know what I mean? We're on the same level. Do you understand? But the truth of the matter is this. In God's eyes, you're on the same level. No one is, you know, is superior to the other. But you need to realize that the roles have changed a bit. The roles have changed. So even though God sees us the same, even though we're on the same level, our roles have changed. And we need to really understand that as well. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, when we say submission and when we say respect, we're not saying submission as in the woman now becomes a slave and you have to, the husband is commanding her to do things. You know, get that thing for me. Pastor said, submit, submit, submit. No, I'm not saying that. That's not what the Bible is saying. It's saying submission from a roles perspective. I mean, for example, do you know that let me switch this around. If a husband and a wife are employed in the same company, and the wife happens to be the director of the company, and the guy is like a junior manager, and the wife is the director, and you know when they go to meetings. And the wife is sitting in the chair of the director, and the husband, in the context of that company, is just the junior manager. You know, there's a role reversal there. Whether the husband is, you know, whatever the husband thinks, once they enter that boardroom and the wife, who is the director, makes a decision and says, you know what, gentlemen, everybody's there, you know, Bill Gates is there, Steve Jobs, she's there, she's the CIO, new one, and it's you're the husband. You're just like a programmer there. You're not a big shot there at all, but your wife is. You know, no matter what opinion you have as a husband, when you get into that room, you're not going to open your mouth and say, you know what? Submit, I'm your husband. You know, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, sorry, this is a personal matter. I know this is the boardroom, but I am her husband. And I say that we do not buy shares in Apple. And dear, you better listen to me. Because in this context, I am her husband. You have to submit. What do you think will happen in that circumstance there? Fired. Do you understand what I mean? Now, why is that? Is it because in that context the husband is less qualified or less of a human being? No. It's just that in that context, those are the roles that are there. Do you understand what I mean? So in the same way, in the context of the family, the man, we'll look at that, you know, subsequently, is the leader, and the wife needs to understand that. Now, the same way, the husband needs to understand that the wife needs that love. So we're talking about communication here. So we're saying that in the context of communication, when one gets into the marital relationship, even though you guys are still friends, nothing has changed, you still love one another, you need to realize that there are certain role things that have changed, and you need to understand the dynamics of those roles. So it doesn't mean that, you know, the husband now becomes the king of the house, or the wife becomes a slave, or any of that. No. It just means that now in the context of marriage, someone is the leader, someone is the supporter, but it doesn't make anybody less. Do you understand? So it doesn't mean one is inferior or one is superior. It's just within the context of marriage, those roles are there. Do you understand? So what am I saying? I'm saying that when one gets married, the approach to communication within the roles changes a bit. And we need to understand that. Now, I have some other things to say about communication, but I think I'll just say some of them. Now, the next thing I want to look at from the context of communication is what I've called communicating the right way. Communicating the right way. And I think after I've gone through this one, we'll stop and we'll carry on next week. So, when I say communicating the right way, what do I mean? And I believe this is quite important. Now, we'll look at the communication from the male perspective, and we'll look at communication from the perspective of, you know, the wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So, communicating the right way, the Bible begins to tell us that for husbands, you need to take it easy when you talk to your wife. It says, you need to give her respect as the weaker vessel, weaker partner. When it says weaker partner, it's talking about not that your wife is weak, but that she's more sensitive emotionally. She's more sensitive emotionally. So that's what it means. And as a man, as a husband, you need to be conscious of that. Do you understand? And to treat them with that, fragility or fragile, is it, how do I say it? But just saying that, you know what, men, to communicate the right way, you need to really be conscious that your wife, from an emotional perspective, is different from you. So when the Bible says weaker partner, it's not saying that physically they're not as strong as you. It's just saying from an emotional perspective, women are made differently from men, and women are just more emotional. So you need to be careful about that in communicating. Do you understand? Now, if we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Let me just dig that up. You can bring that up. Colossians chapter 3:19. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 19, why they bring that up? It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, remember, it's not talking to women in this instance. So what this is saying is that communicating the right way, the first thing, realize that your wife is more emotionally in tune than you. And it says, you know what? Do not be harsh with her. Do not be harsh with your wife. So what that is saying is that there's the tendency that men can be harsh. Your wife comes to you and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, dear, this is happening and all that. And your response at the husband is, you know what, I'm tired. I've just come back from work. I need to do this. I'm tired. I need to do this. And you're really dishing it out in a very business-like manner. The Bible says, for men, don't be harsh with your wife. Communicate in the right way. Now, let's go to women now. Then after that, I'll stop. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15 and 16. Proverbs 27, verse 15 and 16. It says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. I don't know why some of the men are laughing. The women weren't laughing when you were, I was talking about. But what this is... So we're looking at women now. Now, for the men, it says the tendency of men is to be quite harsh in their response. Excuse me, I'm busy. You know, can't we talk about this later? And so forth. And men have the tendency to be harsh. The Bible is saying, you know what, men? Relax. Don't be harsh. But with women, it's slightly different. This describes something that not all women, it was just a natural thing, I think, called nagging. Do you know what nagging is? Nagging is not necessarily bad, but nagging is someone making the point to you over and over and over again. Now, the point that the person is making might be true, but for the man, it just wears men out. Apostle was saying that he gave us this really funny example that when he was growing up, his father took him to this place to this place in a part of the country that he was in at that time, and they called the place Love Garden. But what he found was that it was quite interesting, because in the evenings, after, you know, everybody had left work, his father took him there, and you see a lot of men there, you know, just from the office with their ties and all that, after work, just sitting there with no women, just sitting there on their own, and they call the place Love Garden. And his father said to him, Apostle, that why are all these men here instead of going home at the moment? And he was quite puzzled that, I mean, if this place is called Love Garden, why is it that it's just, you know, mostly married men here just reading the newspaper with their tie and staying here till late? He said the reason is this: they don't want to be nagged at home. So what they're saying is that, you know what, I'm just going to finish work late, I'm going to stay with my friends, and I pray that by the time I get home, my wife is asleep, because it's a nagging, unending nagging. Do you understand? So what the Bible is saying here is that for men, there is a tendency for us to be harsh. For the women, there is a tendency to nag. And nagging is when you're trying to correct something. So it's not that what you're saying is untrue. It's just that, you know, you're just saying it over and over again, to the point that the man now says, you know what, I think I've had enough of this nagging business. But I know that we don't, you know, women, they don't really nag too much. So what the Bible is saying here is that communicating the right way, for the men, don't be harsh. For the women, don't nag the men. Amen. All right, so we're going to stop here for today. and we'll carry on next week. But I just want us to just rise up for a minute and just to pray.